You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
And I've been watching this storm since Cuba, getting weaker and more disoriented. But you wouldn't believe that listening to the Weather Channel and all the media that is pumping out all this information about we're all going to die.
Almost 2 million people have fled from the Gulf Coast, but Allen Pond isn't one of them. Hurricane Gustave has already begun to lash the southern Louisiana coastline today as it's moved closer to an expected midday landfall in just a few hours, and it's also expected to remain a Category 3 storm. Joining us from the city is George Estevez. He is a reporter for CBS 4 Miami, but he's been following the stories of what's happening in New Orleans as they get ready for landfall of Hurricane Gustave. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Adora. Good morning, John. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good. So tell us about the weather first. What are you seeing and feeling right now there?
As of right now, we've been on the air since about 4 o'clock in the morning, or let's say 5 a.m. Eastern time, and here in the U.S., and we've been seeing it steadily pick up, you know, more wind, more rain. For people not familiar with hurricanes, really, it is quite the wind and rain event. It's just something that's been increasing as the morning goes on here. You can hear the rain and feel the wind just across the street from me where we're broadcasting. A flagpole just finished falling, so things are starting to intensify here as far as the weather goes.
And in terms of people, you seen any?
No. You know, I'm happy to report. I do it with a smile because, you know, you look down these streets. Okay, picture it. Like an old American town, New Orleans, for those of you who may or may not be familiar, there's balconies, there's shutters, there's brick buildings. It's very old. A lot of two-story buildings, a lot of one-way quaint streets. So it's very quiet, especially at this particular time of the morning. It's usually quiet, but now there is no one. There has been no one in this party town since, I would venture to say, Saturday morning when we got here. This place has been evacuated. 90% of the people have left. About 2 million people have left the Gulf states, Alabama, Mississippi, New Orleans. So there are not many people around, and people are definitely getting their things, and they've gotten out.
Just people like you, George, you and Anderson Cooper standing around in raincoats with microphones, right?
You know, that's pretty much all that's left. But the good news is, I must say, John, that, you know, we've really learned our lesson. You know, at this point, no one at home wants to see people falling down. No one on the radio wants to hear, you know, reporters yelling as they slide down the street. So I think that we're just here to tell people the story, which is amazing. 3 years ago, Katrina hit, and it just devastated this area, as we all know. We know words like the Ninth Ward and St. Bernard's Parish and Lake Pontchartrain. Those are all the three words I can remember from Katrina, not even being from here. But now there's a new concern, which is an overflow to the U.S.'s historic Mississippi River, which can cause a whole new area of flooding.
Let's talk about some of the people that you've met since you've been there. How have they explained to you the decision for them to get out?
Well, guys, I need to tell you right now, we just lost power. On my cell phone, we've just lost power here in the French Quarter. The lights just went dim. There is a couple of street lights left on generators, but the power is already gone here in the area. Yeah. Going back to the people, really quickly, you know what? An amazing woman, 74 years old, yesterday. I was there when she left her house. Her daughter came to pick her up, and I walked down the stairs, coincidentally. I just arrived, and she was walking down the stairs to this old house made of wood. You know, there's a front porch, and she's walking down, and I approach her, and I go, "Are you okay?" She goes, "No." She turned around and looked at this old house from 19 who knows what and said, "I'm leaving my house, and I don't know when and if I'm ever coming back." She's along the banks of the Mississippi.
Oh, wow.
So seeing this frail woman, you know, barely being able to speak, making her way down four simple wooden rickety steps, not knowing if she'll ever climb them again, is pretty amazing to hear stories like that.
Well, George, CNN's got its generator on. I don't know if you're as fast as they are. Their lights are back on again. Let's talk, since you are experienced with Katrina, and I know Adora is as well, where are you going to go to look to see if the flooding is actually going to cause something that could be disastrous? In other words, what's the sort of key indicator that things maybe are going to go bad?
at this point, one of the key indicators is going to be those areas I mentioned, the Ninth Ward, St. Bernard's Parish. That's the east side, the east bank of New Orleans. Those levees have been reinforced, though, since then, so hopefully they will stand up. Now, the new area of concern, and Adora can attest to this, is the west bank, which is the west bank of the Mississippi. Because the way the storm is, it's tracking further west towards Texas, slightly away from New Orleans, which you think, oh, great, away from New Orleans. Yeah, that's not such a good thing. People following hurricanes will know at this point that it is going to give us, New Orleans, the sloppy side, which is the northeast quadrant of the storm. So we're going to get a lot of that storm surge, and that's almost a greater concern than wind damage for this particular area because, for people not familiar with New Orleans, it is under sea level. So levees are keeping the waters back.
Not to mention that their forecasters are saying that it's going to carry quite a punch in terms of the rain. But just a very quick question about the National Guards. We've been hearing about how there are hundreds and hundreds of guardsmen who are there. Do you see evidence of them, and do things feel a little bit more secure than, say, they did pre-Katrina and post?
You know what? You are on the money with that. Hundreds. I counted. I didn't count them, but I know that I looked up the information. 7,000 National Guard troops from Louisiana are here, not to mention the police officers, not to mention even at the airport, everyone's gone home, but there are backup workers from Dallas that have responded to the airlines and are standing by. TSA is also the security agency here run by the U.S. government, is also sending in troops now to stand by the airport. Because for you guys who remember, the airport, Armstrong Airport, International Airport here in town, was, they called it the morgue, and it's sad to say that. But before it was the morgue and it was organized, it was a disaster. I mean, it was no Superdome and all the stuff that went on in there when the city used that as a last-minute shelter. They're closed-in stadium. But it was a mess. So the guards members are here, and there are caravans, and they've been here all weekend long at posts with rifles throughout the entire city of New Orleans.
George Estevez, we can't thank you enough, and we wish you all the best this morning.
Good luck, buddy.
All right, John. Adora, thank you guys so much.
George Estevez is a reporter for CBS 4 Miami, bringing us up to date on what's happening there in New Orleans. He said the power just went out.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.